We began the year with looking at how important it is for us to have a vision from God for each one of our lives. And then what we did is we looked at prayer for 3 weeks, because one of the ways you get, do you know, a vision from God is through prayer. So we did that for 3 weeks. And last week we began to look at what are we giving our lives to. And we looked at time, because it's one of the important things. Today we're going to look at talents. So let me ask you, are you ready to discover who you are in the kingdom of God?
Yes.
Yes, good. So what if I told you that God has given you, each one of you, unique talents and abilities to make a difference in this world, regardless of how young or how old you are, and that he has actually equipped you with everything that you need to run this race that's before you? We as believers, you know, can't rest on our blessed assurance and coast in the kingdom of God. Because the Lord has mandated for every single one of our lives, he's actually placed things, you know, inside of us that must be utilized for his purposes. There is joy, actually, in knowing that God is working through you, you know, and his Holy Spirit is leading you and he is guiding you in the direction that he actually has for your life. Because when we come to faith, it's about a surrendered life. It's about giving our life to him. Do you know, that's when we're born again and we get this new life. And as you serve with a heart of purpose and of passion, you will face challenges, guys, and obstacles, do you know, but you will overcome them through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We will become overcomers. And this talk isn't just a feel-good talk, it's a call to action. It's actually an invitation to step out of our comfort zones and into God's incredible, wonderful plan that he has for your life as well as the life of this church. So how do we discover our God-given talents? Well, Romans chapter 12, verses 60 says this: in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith, you know, as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. By God's grace, he has given us different talents and abilities for his kingdom and for our lives in general. And some of these gifts, you know, they'll be obvious, they'll be, you know, evident in your life. You'll have discovered them, you know, already. But some of them will require exploring, you know, to uncover what is the hidden gifts and abilities that God has given you. I found actually amazing how God has used my past career to equip me for certain aspects of leading a church. My giftings and abilities came along with basically on-the-job training. And then as I moved into pastoral ministry, I saw that God had actually used all those years of development, you know, in my previous career to help me to become a pastor. Today I'm still actually discovering that God, you know, has placed gifts that I'm just starting to realize in my life as well. So here's a few questions to ask yourself that may help you discover some of your gifting. What activities make you feel alive and energized? That might point you in a direction. What do people often compliment you on or ask your help for? Do you know what comes naturally to you that might be challenging, you know, for other people? What were some of your favorite activities and hobbies, you know, as a child? If you could spend your days doing anything, you know, maybe without worrying about money or other constraints, what would it actually be? How have you seen God work through others, you know, through you to bless others? Those are kind of indicators that maybe there's a hidden talent there or a hidden ability there. Remember, your talents don't have to be super flashy or really big or impressive or trying to impress the world. Maybe you're a fantastic listener. Oh my goodness, could we do more people that actually listen today? You know, patient with kids or great maybe at organizing things. And then you can use those gifts to serve others and point them towards Jesus. The second challenge for us, you know, basically is overcoming fear and excuses. We all have them. We discovered that, you know, last week. Matthew 25, verse 24 says, Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. Many of us know this as the parable of the talents, where a master actually gives three servants talents or silver, depending on what translation you actually read. And what you find is out of the three of them, two of them invested, but the other one, they hid their talent. They hid that one talent that they received. And then they gave excuses as to why they did nothing with their talent, why they hid it, you know, why they buried it. And the master, when he comes back and finds that they've done that, he's angry. He's furious with them. He calls them actually a wicked, lazy servant, and he casts them into outer darkness. Remember, it's a parable. The parable should concern us on many, many levels, because Jesus opened the parable with this statement. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them with property. The Father, our Father God, has entrusted every single one of us with talents. And he expects a return, you know, on them. He's saying that we all have been given talents that were meant to invest in the kingdom of God advancing. This is confirmed throughout the Bible in many various forms. We are expected to actually fulfill God's mandate for our lives. And it may be scary, you know, to step out in faith and do something, you know, you believe God has told you to. It's also, it's easier to give excuses, isn't it, than to put forth the effort that's needed to forward God's plans. Like, I don't have time, and boy, did we cover that last week. You know, our time on earth is really short. It really is. And this time that we spend on earth is actually preparation for the time we spend in eternity. This really is a preparation time. Sometimes we think, oh, no, someone else can do that far better than me. You know, they can do it better than me. They're a better speaker. They're a better this than me. God isn't interested, really, in our fears or reasons why we can't, because he supplied us with everything that we actually need to do whatever it is that he's asked us to actually do. Moses is probably an excellent example of this. When God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery and into the promised land, Moses came up with all kinds of excuses. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, he's like, you know, I'm not a good speaker, Lord. I'm not a good speaker. Don't send me. Do you know, and then in verse 13 in chapter 4, it says, please send someone else to do it. But God didn't let him off the hook. And he promised to help Moses, and he gave him the words to actually say. And although Moses, you know, he was obedient, even though he was shaken in his sandals probably, God did incredible miracles through it because he embraced that and he had a go. If you find yourself in this position, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed. We all have encountered the same kind of feelings and wanted to give excuses, especially when God has called us to actually do something. And the reason that we're here in the West End of Glasgow today, you know, is through a prophecy that the Lord gave us when we were on the south side from Joshua 1. And it was actually an instruction, and I'm going to blast you with loads of scripture today. You know, whenever I have a tough week, I do a lot of scripture. And it's been a tough week this week, so you're going to get a lot. So I'd encourage you, you can photograph some of it, or you can see it when it's posted online. But this is part of the prophecy. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a promise. And you know what? He's been faithful in that. Been faithful in that. See, you plus God equals victory. Can I say that again? You plus God equals victory. That should bring a smile on our face. That should bring encouragement, you know, to us. And then our next step in using our talents is that we need to serve with the right attitude. That's a really important thing. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And these scripture readings I'm taking mostly out of the Living Translation Bible. I believe that attitude is enormous regarding the kingdom of God. The Bible says very clearly that we need to have the same attitude as that of Jesus. He was one, you know, of complete selflessness. It's amazing that. He was a person of servanthood, and he sacrificed, you know, time and time again to put the needs of others in front of his own needs. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says this, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Now, there could be countless wrong attitudes that we may have to overcome and get victory in and wrestle with. Do you know, for example, to name a few, there could be pride that we need to overcome, unbelief, bitterness, you know, because of things that maybe happened to us, unforgiveness because of things that haven't happened to us, laziness, do you know, apathy, worldliness, jealousy, complaining, selfishness, rebellion, you know, even you can do that. We've got to get rid of those attitudes. The Bible says in Psalm, do you know, 100 verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than people. I used to do that in engineering when I was an engineer, and you know, people were some of the guys were going, you need to slow down, Jamie, you're making us look bad. Do you know? I'm like, why are you doing that? You know, they're not paying you any extra money for doing all that. I'm like, yeah, but you're doing it for just the paycheck at the end of the week. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm his ambassador here on earth in this workplace, and so I'm setting the standard and the model, you know, here. And do you know, as I did, actually people started to ditch the whole laziness and trying to get as much, you know, money for doing as little work as possible, and actually changed the culture in that place. You see, we're meant to be salt. We're meant to be, you know, light, you know, in the dark places. If you start with the correct position, endow your spiritual internal compass in the proper direction, you'll step out on the right foot and your path will be straight. Along the way, it will require periodic, you know, adjustments, as long as you stay true to the word of God in your life. That's why I put so much scripture in here, because it's true to the word of God. We should continually be operating from the point of serving with gladness, with joy. See, coming here and preaching, driving a trailer, help set up and do that, to me that's joy. It's great that I get the privilege to serve you. What would it be like that if we did that in every facet of life? Every time we met as a Sunday, but also every time we did it in the workplace as well. We should continually be operating from the point of serving with gladness. Remember that we're not doing it for others or even ourselves, but we're working and doing it for the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, why don't you turn around and say, God loves you because you're holy. Linda, God loves you because you're holy. He does. You must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. It's a hard one. Remember, the Lord forgave you. Oh, yeah, so he did. So you must forgive others. We must exemplify Jesus in our daily lives. And when we do this, we are placing ourselves in a position for God to use us in the talents and giftings that he's already given us. Colossians lays out the attitudes that we must clothe ourselves with. Look at it. Tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, allowance for others' faults, as well as forgiving. And then the next step is we need to keep running the race and not give up. Not to be discouraged because we get sad news, bad news, whatever news it is, because that is only seeking to discourage you, make us look inward rather than look upward. We need to see the race before us and keep our eyes on that. That doesn't mean we're devoid of emotions, you know, and processing things whenever we do have a sad thing, but we must fix our eyes on the prize and keep going. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, don't you realize that the race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win, the scripture says. That was very encouraging for me this week. We are all running our races in the Lord, but should collectively come together to advance God's kingdom for his glory. That's what it's about. The Apostle Paul is actually speaking of a worldly race here, in which the winner, they win a wreath and, you know, they get all the accolades, but in time, you know, everybody forgets it. It's gone. But how many of us know that if we endure to the end, we will all win a prize in Jesus that will last for absolute eternity? In fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Are you burdened with sin today? Is there a weight that's holding you back, you know, today? Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. When we use our gifts for the kingdom of God, it is a lifelong journey, guys. A lifelong journey. There will be opposition. There is spiritual opposition. The enemy is, even just now, you know, I'm looking at the congregation and I know X amount of families that are off this horrible vomit virus, you know, just now, not wanting to give it to anyone else. You know, there's opposition, there's trials, and there's things that happen naturally that will, you know, seek to kind of keep us from gathering together. And you know what? There will be mistakes that we'll make along the way. Obstacles will be in our way. There'll be hard times that come. You know, it feels like just now we're in a season of winter. But you know what? Spring's coming. Spring is coming. It's just round the corner. And I mean that metaphorically, you know, as well as practically. What matters is that we need to keep pushing forward through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to stay in prayer. We have to seek the Lord's face. We cannot allow ourselves to give up along the journey. So we must keep your eyes fixed and focused on Jesus. Running our race in Christ requires our faithfulness. We're not going to get it right all the time. That's why we need each other. So whenever we're down, we say, come on, you can do this. We encourage each other. I can't even begin to express how many times I've faced, you know, discouragement or spiritual opposition. But I can say this, I've never quit. By not quitting, I'm allowing the Lord to work through me every day, day by day. So the next step is about encouraging each other, you know, in the local church, in our church. Matthew 16, verse 18 says, "Now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." And in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body." We, gathered together, are supposed to be the closest representation to Jesus that anyone walking in that door that doesn't know Jesus will actually find. When we become the body, we display our talents and our gifts for that. We look Christ-like. There is no doubt that Jesus established the church, and we are the body of Christ. Hebrews 10:25, you can read it off the screen. Let us not stay away from church meetings. Some people are doing this all the time, comfort each other, as you can see the day of his return coming near. In other words, it's commanding us to gather together and encourage one another, especially because Jesus' return is so near to us. God has given us this beautiful gift, and it's the church. It's the church. He doesn't have a B plan. This is his A plan. This is his A plan. It's where you find your spiritual family. It's where you find pastoral care. It's where you find a place to be mentored and discipled, to learn things. It's a place where you can actually use your talents and abilities to serve. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." In other words, no one's an island in and of themselves. We all need other people in our lives. It doesn't matter how extrovert you are or how introvert you are, we all need people. I'm a classic introvert who works hard at being an extrovert because of the position that I've got. It does take a lot of nervous energy to even get up and do this in front of you guys. I can be alone all week thinking, you know, just with thoughts in my head and just kind of prayer. I can sit in my office for hours writing and studying. I'm as happy as a sandpiper. I really am. Also, my wife, Linda, you know, Linda's my best friend. She's my best friend. We, you know, do everything together, and it's really easy just to be with Linda. But I think there's more to life than that. We all need to be encouraged by the body of Christ. So we do. There are many reasons why the Lord establishes the church, our church and all the other churches. But one of them is to actually encourage each other and to continue running a race and encouraging us in doing that. Also, it's a place where our talents and gifts can be used. As we do, we will all together advance the kingdom of God and we move it forward. Do you know, there's many, many scriptures that call us to serve the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 to 11, Ephesians 4,
1 Corinthians 12, Matthew 25, Colossians, 3, Romans 12, Hebrews 10. And lots more, lots more. So how do you use your talents to help others? How do you do it? Well, God has given each one of us special abilities and talents. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. These talents aren't just for our own benefit, but God wants us to use them to serve others. It's always about serving. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 tells us, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Doesn't matter if your talent is singing or drawing, being a good friend or helping somebody with homework maybe, every ability can be used to show God's love, to show it in a practical way. It might feel scary to kind of put yourself out there and use your talent sometimes, but remember, God is with you. He's with you and will give you the courage and the strength that you actually need. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I wonder if we fully grasp that he's created us for good things. And I wonder if the world would be a more joyous, happy place if his global church realized that and good triumphed over evil. Good released joy. Good changed every environment, whether it's politics, workplace, education, what. We are the bearers of good news. And somehow we need to learn to grab the courage to release it more, but also to demonstrate it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And heaven is no pain. Heaven is no tears. There's no sadness. There's joy. There's peace. There's love. There's harmony. Wow. Does our world need that? Does it? So don't hide your talents or be afraid to use them. Look for ways to help and encourage the people around you with the abilities that God has given you. You never know how amazing the impact could be that you have in someone's life. Let's all work together to make a difference, with God. All we have to do, I think, really is recognize the gifts and talents, and then all we have to do is put them into practice. Let's get started. Let me now try to answer some of the how questions that you might have. How can I develop and strengthen my God-given gifts? How can we do it? When we discover the special abilities and talents that God has given you, it's absolutely exciting, guys. It really is exciting. But it's not enough just to know what they are. We need to practice and put them into practice. It's kind of like a muscle, to be quite honest with you. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. One of the best ways to actually develop your talent is by stepping out in faith and using them. Hebrews 5, verse 14. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. The more you put your gifts into practice, the better you'll get at actually using them. It really is. Another key to growing in your abilities is staying connected to God. We've got to stay connected to him. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 7 reminds us, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let our lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. When he says, stay close to Jesus through prayer and reading your Bible, he helps us understand how to use your gifts in ways that actually honor him. Don't forget, you're not in this alone. God has given you this church, a community of believers to encourage you and sharpen one another. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So in other words, surround yourself with people who will build you up, who will pray for you, and who will help you grow in your gifting. You see, we can have two sets of people in your life. You can have VIPs or you can have VDPs. VDPs are very draining people. Very draining people. And I'm sure we've all had them. VIPs are very inspirational people. And you need more inspirational people than you do draining people. Okay? Because input equals
output, you know, for that. So focus on that. And I've totally lost the place where I am. But when you read Proverbs, it's an amazing promise, isn't it? When we surrender our talents to God, you know, we allow Him to guide us, our efforts will align with His purposes. And you know what? That leads to success. It really does. And lastly, Ephesians 2, verse 10 reminds us, for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Long ago. So, I've told the list of places. It's these buttons keep sticking. Knowing that we are basically uniquely created by God and designed to do good works should inspire you to use your talents, use your abilities, you know, with humility and gratitude and a desire to serve others, just as Christ served and demonstrated to us. So let me summarize this and just bring it all together. As we discovered, you know, you need to put and use your unique talents and abilities that God has given each one of us. And we need to keep our eyes fixed, you know, on Jesus. Run the race that He set before us. It won't always be easy, I can't promise you that, but we will overcome any obstacle with the right attitude, you know, and humility, you know, and service. He will enable us to do that, aligning God's strength and encouraging one another in this church. Remember, this isn't about us or our glory, it's about actually using, you know, what God has actually placed inside of us to make an eternal impact, you know, in the world and also advance His kingdom. So as we step out of faith and we do it in obedience, even when we feel inadequate, you know, or afraid, He will equip us for any work. You know, He'll use us powerfully in powerful ways as well. So let's not hide our talents, guys, let or make excuses, but let's invest them wisely, knowing we will one day have to give an account to God for what we did with what He gave us. Every one of us is going to have to do that. So let's encourage each other. Let's encourage each other in love and good deeds, and together, as the body of Christ, let's light up the world. Let's bring some light into the darkness that we're hearing about and we're seeing in these days. And you know what? The best is still yet to come. I truly believe that as we fulfill this incredible plan and purpose that God actually has for us. Do you know, one person can make all the difference. One person can make all the difference. It doesn't have to be massive churches, you know, etc., etc., with all the resources in the world. One person plus God is a majority.